Hello and welcome to another episode of Father and Joe. I'm Joe Rocky here with Father Bomb 6. And Father, I want to continue this conversation because it's so interesting to me and powerful to me to learn how to do things that will make life better. You know, you used the analogy earlier that in relationship, it's one of these things that we catch rather than get taught. And in that analogy moving forward, essentially, I'm always trying to learn how to catch better because I think it's important because no one ever catches everything. You look at any professional sport, people drop them. Either there's categories called drops and errors for a reason because no one's going to be perfect in catching everything. But if there's a way to learn a better skill, such as in baseball, look the ball all the way into your glove, or in football, don't run until you caught the ball, for examples, those are things that make you better at catching. And again, using the analogy here of how to enhance relationships, we ended the last episode with talking about some tools that we can add to our repertoire. And some of these are going to be a little bit more unpersonal in the way that we discuss them here because they're so radically personal to the person involved. For instance, forgiveness. I think that's probably the most powerful one and one we should certainly address here. So let's do it up front. When we talk about how to forgive someone from a very big picture level, it's like, okay, be nice, forgive, and move on. Like, okay, all right, whatever. But when we're actually dealing in the situation in the moment when there's been raw exposed pain and a nerve has been cindered and there's just not goodness everywhere, that's not really like satisfying advice. Like, oh, just live and let live. It'll be okay. Like, that's not really satisfying. So Father, I'm hoping that in this conversation, in addition to forgiveness, we can give some really good tools that we can have ways of practicing in our regular lives that essentially become exercises, just as the same way as if we did 500 pushups every day, we'd be able to see we're massively stronger. If we could have some exercises in the relationship realm, we would find that things are just working better. And that's obviously going to look different for everyone. There's no defined outcome, but just as there's no defined outcome, if you put five guys together and have them do 500 pushups a day, sure, they'll all have more muscle mass, but they'll all look different. And I think that that's part of something to recognize as well. So with that, Father, it's kind of a loaded starting point, but how do we forgive people?
Well, I referenced one book the last time. I'm going to reference another this time. There's the work by Dr. Robert Enright. And if you look up on the web, the International Forgiveness Institute, that's going to tell you a lot more than we can fit into a 20-minute podcast. He has actually a 20-step process or a 20-part process that's kind of in four major steps or four phases. And that's it's excellent. So there's also a doctoral dissertation written by Father John Burns, who has become quite well known and popular, especially in his ministry to women religious. He's a priest of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, and he did an analysis of Enright's model of forgiveness from a Thomistic perspective, the perspective of St. Thomas Aquinas. So kind of Catholic analysis, you might say. Turns out Dr. Robert Enright is a Catholic, practicing Catholic, although he's expressing everything in totally secular terms as a psychologist. He's a doctor of psychology and a lot of evidence and a lot of decades of work. So I'd really refer people there. He's written a couple of books that I haven't read, but I've read Father John Burns' analysis and I've read the things on the website and really appreciate some things that he teases apart. There are some ways to go wrong in forgiveness that are important to avoid, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And some basic starting points let me just start at the really hairy stuff. So let me just set aside that for the moment. And that's where consulting his work, and we could do future podcasts on it too. I'm not afraid to talk about it, but just for the sake of focusing on something in a 20-minute episode, the really hairy stuff, if we think of the the person in the concentration camp who is in a position to forgive the Nazi guard that beat them. Okay, so that's really extreme stuff. Mm-hmm. And we could take that another level of the person that's not even asking for forgiveness, that situation being perhaps an example of that. The person who isn't asking forgiveness, the person who doesn't want to reconcile, the person with whom it's not even safe to reconcile because the person is going to hurt you again. So those are some hard cases that there are good things for, but I'm just going to move into, let's say, more garden variety forgiveness and reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
One thing to note is that forgiveness doesn't begin with the other person saying something. Forgiveness does begin with our decision to forgive. And so that's important to know. Sometimes people will put forgiveness on hold, waiting for the other person. If they would just apologize, then I could forgive. And there is something important about the other person apologizing, acknowledging the wrong that's done, at least somebody acknowledging the wrong that's done, because sometimes our minds can play tricks on us and try to convince ourselves, well, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't really wrong. It was okay that they did this. And we can have some real confused stuff going on inside of us. Especially, you know, if a person that doesn't have quite the strength or the confidence and when it's a person that we really trust, how could that person ever hurt me? So there can be really confusing things like that. But we can work on it once we know that it's wrong, and it might require somebody else to reinforce that. We can work on forgiving. And then I think another good starting point is recognizing that that Jesus really does help us to forgive, and even to the point that we could say it's really Jesus forgiving the person through us. So am I willing to let him forgive the person? What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a kind of indebtedness. Some translations of the Our Father even say that. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those, as we forgive our debtors. And there's a kind of indebtedness. When we've been hurt, a person has not treated us in the way that we deserved because of our dignity as a human being, as a baptized person, or even because of the expectations of the relationship as a spouse, as a child of a parent. We haven't been treated with justice. We haven't been treated as we deserve. And so there's an indebtedness there. That person has failed to show God's love to us. God has entrusted love to that person for us, and the person has failed to give that to us. And so there's a kind of indebtedness there. Recognizing the wrong and handing over the person to God is a way of opening ourselves. God still wants to give us the love. And sometimes the bad behavior of a person blocks us from receiving his love. And the willingness to hand that situation, hand that person over to God to say, this was wrong. It hurt me. I'm angry about it, but I'm going to give it to God, hand it over to God. And I know that the way I wasn't loved by this person, God does have love for me in that way. So I moved on from garden variety forgiveness. I'm sorry. I've practiced so much really hard cases that already moved into that realm.
But you did start with an amazing starting point there that is for all of us. The starting point's with us. It's not an outside stimulus coming at us. And so I just think with that starting anchor point, let's get into step two.
Yeah. So it starts with us, and you know, if we're in a situation of reconciling, so to move a little bit more into the garden variety hurts and misunderstandings that come up in relationships, I'm thinking of marriage and family, friendships, coworkers, the being able to sometimes begin a process. A lot of times in the garden variety situations, I can find something of mine also that's involved. A lot of times, you know, maybe, perhaps a husband overreacts against his wife and yells at her for something. Now, again, I'm not talking about severe abuse and anything like that, but just more normal, just sort of raising his voice, losing his temper, and and his wife, and maybe, I don't know, he's not even that aware of it. He wanders away. There's a little bit of coldness between them, and maybe in her hurt, and she's right to feel hurt. It's not right for him to yell, and there are other ways to work through things. So she feels the pain. Maybe she feels some anger. How dare he treat me like that, say that to me. And maybe she can work through to a place of letting Jesus in that place. Jesus loved me in that moment when I really needed to be understood and I needed patience, and he wasn't giving that to me. And then I'm going to hand him over to Jesus, and I'm going to pray. So maybe prayer would be a good first step. Jesus, help him. And then maybe I want to draw close to him, and I have the kind of the strength to do that. Then sometimes we can find, well, so he did yell, but maybe she realizes, well, she kind of came at him a little bit soon after he got in the door. Turns out that he had a really hard day at work. There were other things that were going on. His reaction was really more against those things. He does that a bit too much, but maybe she has the strength. And again, it's important not to turn this into a whole self-blame or that it's all her fault. That's not the point. But maybe mm-hmm. she can say to him, I'm sorry for bringing that up so quickly and not seeing how you were doing when you came home, and I didn't realize you had such a hard day at work. Maybe that step towards bridging the gap is a first step that can be taken. And from that place, he's able to say, no, it was really, I shouldn't have reacted like that. I did have a hard day, but you don't deserve that. And I shouldn't have said that to you. But sometimes asking for forgiveness, again, if we can own something that's really ours, if we can look at a situation and we have the, you know, the strength and interior freedom to do that, own something that's really ours and apologize for that, sometimes that kind of opens the dialogue and helps the other person also to forgive. Even a step less than that, Pope Francis often says, you know, don't end the day angry. It's not that everything has to be worked out by the end of the day, but even some gesture to say, because the thing is that little interaction that I just described, and again, please take that as the most minimal thing. This is not repeated abusive, physically mm-hmm. violent behavior. That's a different situation that we can deal with differently. But that kind of situation is a small incident. It's significant. It really hurts. But it's in the context of something much larger. And the kind of thing that Pope Francis is encouraging is, you know, think of the larger situation and just a gesture. I am really hurt by what happened, but I love you and I'm committed to you. This is our marriage and I want to work through it. And a little gesture to call on the larger circumstance. This is not, I'm about ready to pack up my bags and move out the door. I am going to work through this. I'm not going to just let this go because it's not acceptable and I'm really hurt and we need to deal with that. But more fundamentally, I love you and I'm with you. So those kinds of gestures also make a big difference in our relationships. And I'm the spousal relationship, of course, is that inner circle, as I mentioned on the last podcast. There are emanations outward, even at work with colleagues. When there isn't quite the intimacy and trust and depth, then also the hurt isn't as significant when something happens. But if there's a close relationship among colleagues, still there's a place for making a gesture. I'm really sorry that we had that conflict today. I'm not quite ready to work through it yet, but I really appreciate you. And please know I'm praying for you and please pray for me and we'll work through it. So little gestures like that do a lot of good for preventing. There's a kind of ruminating, a kind of spiraling that can happen that can make things much worse as we start to churn around the pain and the anger and we start to make things bigger and bigger and more than they were. Those things can really escalate. So just a gesture sometimes can stop that process and then put us on an even ground to work through it. Working through it might involve an intentional conversation. Can we meet tomorrow at 10 o'clock? Can we meet tomorrow after I get home from work and talk through what happened? And let's pray about it today, you know, or sometimes even a note to explain, to kind of process for ourselves what happened in the interaction, where the conflict was, what the hurt was caused by, to put some language around that and explain it. Things are variably hurtful. Sometimes, you know, you can think of your skin. If you have a bruise and someone smacks you in the arm, now maybe the smack in the arm was not good in itself, but it hurts 10 times more because you have a bruise there. Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing happens emotionally too. And sometimes we hurt people more than we realize because we don't know where some of those hurt and sensitive places are. So that can be helpful to explain, and being able to write that out or have a kind of dedicated conversation. Sometimes things even need to be slowed down to the point that we say, I'm going to tell my whole story. This is the dialoguing that they do in Marriage Encounter. I'm going to tell my whole story, and then you have to tell me my story back to me. So I need you to actually listen to what I actually said and not just wait for your chance to run into me. That's a pattern that's not, you don't develop that pattern during the conflict. So you have to develop those kinds of communication skills in more peaceful times. But that skill of, I'm going to say my story and you're going to tell me what I just told you so that I know you heard me. And then you're going to tell me your story and I'm going to tell you what you said so that I can show you that I heard you. Sometimes slowing conversations down to that level is necessary to really help us listen to each other. Sometimes we just don't listen. In repeating the story back, I might leave out critical details or I might interpret things differently. You say, no, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. Listen, this is what I said. And so we can really make sure that we're getting each other's story right. All right, so I just threw a bunch of different things at you.
There's a lot of great stuff there. And one thought that came to me, and I apologize because this originated back when I was in high school, but I remember distinctly, it was either trig or physics, I don't remember which one exactly, was something to the effect that any two energy waves have the capability of coming in and being completely calm and mellow with each other, or be a complete spike of explosion. If you think of the wave analogy in an ocean, you can see two waves come in and you can see them sploosh up, make this big white cap. And likewise, you might see two other waves connect and nothing happens. It's like, whoa, that was disappointing. I wanted to see this big chaos in the ocean or whatever. But I bring this up because the differences between the two waves interactions are something that you can adjust scientifically and prove. Like, you can show things get louder or quieter, and you can do it with sound, any type of wave motion, essentially. And I think that what you've described here is just that exactly. So maybe by entering in each situation and just saying, what energy, what wave am I bringing to the table, and will it work with what I expect from the other side? Now, obviously, no one is ever going to be perfectly consistent always. And that requires constant recalibration. But I think the most important part I got from you here, Father, was we need to act first. We have the capability of figuring out where we are at and checking, are we bringing the wrong emotion to the situation? I guess it's the starting point fundamentally. And then from there, having some kind of idea what an outcome would look like. And then also throughout the process, because it's a relationship, checking in to make sure the other person's on the same boat as you. Like, what is the desired outcome for whatever? And how can we make it better? You know, I don't want to be angry for the 20-minute drive that we're about to be on. Like, how can we fix this so that it's not uncomfortable and raw, essentially? How can we make things better? And I think that knowing your starting point a little bit better, knowing how you're trying to mesh with the other side, and knowing the outcomes, which with basically any other human system is a good starting point to try to figure out, and how, because this gets trickier because you have two people involved, how will they react as well? And I think that that's part of the goal of what you were saying here. But the big starting point is that, you know what? We need to take the first step internally, and then we go from there. But the first step is wanting to fix the situation and make it better. So, Father, I greatly appreciate being with us here. I know that we're going for 20 minutes in today's episode, and we just went a little bit over that. So we thank everyone for listening, and we'll be with you again next week.